Welcome to this series of IQVIA podcasts about organized health systems. Thanks for listening. I'm Rory Martin, head of IQVIA's Center of Excellence for Integrated Delivery Networks. This week, we're discussing primary market research, or PMR. Specifically, why is PMR used, how is it applied, and what can it tell us about IDNs? My guest is Paul Veer from IQVIA's consulting group, who brings with him a wealth of experience applying primary market research to help pharma clients with their business questions. Welcome, Paul.
Thanks, Rory.
So, Paul, before we start today's episode, I want to put something on the table. I'm a primary market research skeptic. Okay, so I'm a math PhD, analytical, data-driven, and I'll tell you a story. Last week, my daughter Emily, who's 13, she was showing me a math problem in which she had to calculate the slope of a line. And that's calculus, I said. And I told her about a really good BBC series presented by James Burke called The Day the Universe Changed, which tells the story of how calculus came to be. So, you know, there was an astronomer called Johannes Kepler. He was getting married, and he was surprised to see the local wine merchants were measuring the amount of wine in curved barrels using a stick. And he wondered, you know, how could that possibly work? So he spent the next few years creating a method for calculating the volume of curved barrels using what he called infinitesimals. He divided the barrel into many slices and approximated each slice using rectangles and triangles, which he knew the area of, to calculate the volume of wine in a barrel, which he didn't know. So it's an early form of calculus. So you see, the idea of just asking people a series of questions to tell you something useful is surprising to me. Paul, can you tell me, how does PMR actually work? What makes PMR, PMR?
That's a great question, Rory. So I think there's a really interesting, I'm trying to think of some sort of quick response to your Kepler story. And I bet you anything, if you had actually asked the winemakers how much they thought would contain in that barrel of wine, they would have been pretty darn close. And the key piece, I think, from a PMR standpoint, primary market research, is you're really trying to understand a lot around human behavior and, quite frankly, what is influencing, what are the motivational factors behind that behavior. So many times you can measure something. So if you can measure it, that's fantastic. But how are you measuring a behavior? And you can look at what that actual output is. So a person may have acted a certain way. You can measure how many times they've acted that way. But if it's a scenario or some sort of situation where it has never been encountered before, how do you measure it? That's where PMR may come into place. So really starting to look at how, you know, what business question or what question you're trying to address. And if it's something that's maybe a scenario that isn't necessarily panned out before in reality, we have no way of measuring it, we're trying to determine how is that future human behavior going to be acting. We're going to need to be able to effectively put a question out there and get a response. So we may not be able to measure the wine barrel as well, but we will be able to leverage maybe past experience from the winemakers to understand approximately how much this barrel will contain. What are some of the challenges about filling a barrel, whether it's square, circular, etc.? And then how do they go about moving forward within their winemaking business? So a lot of times, primary market research really comes down to what are you trying to determine? I think there are cases where your measurement, bringing out your ruler, using the wine analogy again, is a fantastic way to be able to continue to measure moving forward. But there are other cases there aren't. So I think from a key piece, how does PMR work? How does primary market research work? It's really going to depend upon what are you trying to determine. There are different tools for the trade, and primary market research is one. I think from your perspective of doing the strong analytics is definitely another tool of the trade. And where you apply that tool and when you apply that tool is actually the trick of the trade, or really being able to understand when to apply a certain tool. Certain tools work well for some situations. Certain tools do not work well. So primary market research may not work well in certain scenarios, just as trying to measure in a very quantitative fashion may not be there if you don't actually have the data collection to be able to measure.
So I'm hearing you say that primary market research can tell you some of the why behind the what, I guess, that the analytics can tell you. Are there other ways in which PMR is complementary to the analytics, do you think?
I think so. I mean, if you think about an analytics approach, a lot of times you're looking at some data set that has occurred. When you're looking at primary market research, you can ask why that behavior occurred and looking back at the same data set and trying to determine if there were certain inflection points in the data. You may not know why there's an inflection point. So you can ask through primary research, what were the factors, drivers, components that may have changed the behavior? You may not have picked up what changed the behavior in your analytics. You'll see behavior changed, but you may not know what were those underlying reasons or motivations that created that behavioral change. So it's a complementary piece. I think in many situations you want to actually use both to be able to get the complete picture. And then I think another place where primary market research, as I'd already kind of alluded to, is important is actually looking in the future. Because if there are changes you know are going to happen in the future or potential different scenarios, you aren't able to actually measure that behavior through a pure analytical approach given a future environment that is not necessarily has already elicited that behavior. So you can put forth scenarios, different components, maybe different things that would be value drivers to see how that behavior may change. And then obviously you want to measure that with your analytical approach as that future time frame comes to bear or comes to present, so you can determine whether that predictive aspect of the primary research and align that back with what's absolutely occurring.
This is an IDN series. What's the best way of using PMR to help us understand IDNs, do you think?
So the best way to use primary market research for IDNs, Rory, I think we've already talked a little bit about it, is the fact that you can understand what were some of the main drivers or motivations for change that you may have witnessed through your analytics. So if you see an inflection point, you can really determine why that inflection point happened. Your analytics may actually show a shift in behavior, but if you don't know why, it could lead yourself to making bad decisions from a business standpoint. The other piece is actually looking at that future market. So if there's a lot of change in the healthcare marketplace today, everything from policy changes, which are currently being evaluated by the current administration, to shifting commercial entities and payment models. So really trying to understand how those factors are going to actually change or influence behavior moving forward is another area to start to think through primary market research as a tool to be able to provide insights to the rationale and the reasons behind behavioral changes or potential behavioral changes moving forward.
As we learned in the first episode of the series, there are almost 1,000 IDNs out there. What do you think makes a good target as an IDN? How do you actually go about choosing one?
Yeah, so I think for me, how do you target someone to go interact with from a primary market research tool is a great question, and I think a lot of that comes down to looking at can you segment these IDNs in some way, shape, or form. So one way that primary market research can be very complementary, and I know that we've talked about this offline, is with all these different IDNs, is there any type of similarity? I know you've seen one, but there might be archetypes that you can actually see that certain IDNs are behaving in certain fashions versus others. So given that, primary market research can actually dive into those different, I'll call them segments or archetypes, to be able to understand the rationale and the behavioral drivers behind the difference. So they may be organized different, there may be different incentives within the actual IDN, the systems may just have different ecosystems that they're operating in, and therefore that's driving some of the behavior. So the primary market research can be very complementary to understand the different, I'll call them archetypes for lack of better words. And the behaviors that are exhibited there, we can witness through the analytics, but then being able to understand the drivers behind that behavior through a primary market research tool is a great way to complement, but it's also a great way to figure out, of those thousands that are out there, which ones are good to speak to. You can do simple segmentation, something just purely on, volume, could be by geography, could be based on some of the behavioral aspects you'll pick up through all the analytic work you do, but in a way, it's not one or the other, but being of analytics or primary market research, but I think it's a complementary piece to be able to use both tools based upon the business question that's at hand. I don't think you necessarily need to pull both tools out at once, but it's really trying to say what is the question that we're trying to address and what is the appropriate tool that we can apply towards it to learn and therefore answer our question.
Okay, good. Well, this is restoring my faith in the universe a bit more, I think, that we actually need the analytics to perform the segmentation, which would then help guide PMR. So that's good. I think we know that the largest health systems, they have hundreds of facilities and thousands of providers working at them. How do you actually choose the right kind of stakeholder at an IDN to interview?
Yeah, and I think that's coming down to the whole, you know, the word sample. So who are you speaking to, whether a qualitative interview or you might actually do a quantitative survey. But it's really coming down to what is the business question that you're trying to address. So if you're looking at maybe just purely prescribing patterns, then it may be very much going into, I'll call it the trenches, the physicians who's in that IDN. If you're looking at maybe a business issue in terms of potential behavior around docking a product or paying for a product or looking at the financial impact of maybe a pricing action, there's different individuals who will have that authority within that IDN. Is it an IDN that you're speaking to a pharmacy director that has a mandate over a formulary for 10 hospitals within the system or the integrated delivery network? Or are they more decentralized and each pharmacy director and each hospital makes their own decision? So again, trying to be able to understand the business question at hand will then actually allow you to target the right, whether it be individual or stakeholder, to interact with from a primary market research standpoint. So it is really fundamentally driven by what's the question that you're trying to address. It's not just IDN. You talk to anybody at the IDN. If you're looking at billing and coding, you'd want to speak to somebody who's involved and who has the authority in the billing and coding department, versus if you're speaking to somebody who would be making protocol decisions, you want to speak to the individuals that are part of that system. So again, really it's at hand is the business question, and then determining who within that IDN or those IDNs have some sort of decision-making authority, and those are the individuals that we want to have wrapped into our sample.
We've talked about how to choose IDNs to interview and also, I guess, who at the IDN to talk to. Once you've done that, how do you actually conduct the interviews? Can you speak to that a little bit? Like, who facilitates them? How do you structure them? Do you blind them? That sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we do primary market research with stakeholders at IDNs, we're going to be working with our clients to determine, clearly what's that business question. We structure them in double-blinded fashion, so they don't necessarily know who the sponsor of the study is, nor will our sponsor necessarily know who the stakeholder or the institution may be, part of the integrated delivery network. Do that in a way because it actually creates a little bit more openness in the conversation. So if they know they're going to be specifically divulged on who they are, you know that there's going to be a behavioral difference in terms of how they're addressing questions. I'm speaking about a qualitative interview right now. So we do them in a double-blinded fashion. We will have a very structured guide in terms of our discussion and we'll work with our clients to actually determine not only which questions to ask, how to ask the questions. We will bring in our methodological expertise, but again, it's getting down to that business question. We can then translate that into specific discussion guides, but we'll start off with a hypothesis-based approach. So what are the hypotheses that we have around that business question? And once we understand those hypotheses, we can change those into specific questions and framed up in a way that they're not leading questions, they're not closed-ended questions, to be able to really dive into the issue and get the understanding discussion around that to be able to address business question. They, in general, as we're talking qualitative interviews, will be, a time frame of maybe 45, 60 minutes. Again, maybe if it's a very simple one, we've done qualitative interviews as little as 20 minutes. But generally, they're somewhere around 45, 60 minutes, and we'll have different structures and flows in that discussion so that we can really kind of get down into some specific issues, and we don't necessarily want to bias any type of responses. So part of that flow and will be determined by not only the hypotheses and the business questions, but we'll also make sure the flow isn't creating topics of area that may bias something later on in the discussion. So we just want to make sure that we're thinking through that. they're conducted generally over the phone. Usually we'll have, if there's some sort of stimuli or something that we want people to react to, we can project things on a secure website so that they can view that. We can reference material. Let's just say it's a pure reaction to a product profile. We can put up a product profile. It's on a secure website. They can view it. We can probe in on specific areas. Or if it's just a land, you know, talking about the changing landscape, we can sketch out, here's our hypothesized changing landscape, and get agreement, disagreement, and have people poke holes into it as a tool. Lots of different techniques that we have out there from a qualitative standpoint, as well as if you were even talking about a quantitative survey, lots of different techniques there as well. But the key piece is to be able to make sure you are grounded in the business question, key hypotheses to test, reframing those up into questions that are not leading, not biasing, to be able to extract out the best information, and then using a variety of different moderation techniques to be able to have the person comfortable speaking to you, willing to speak to you, as well as pressure testing their answers and circling back maybe on something that they might have just said was contradictory. So it's a fun process, but at the same time, a fair amount of work goes into it to be able to make sure we're getting good results back out.
Once you've completed the interviews, how do you put it all together so that you're creating insight for the client?
Yeah, so one of the key things is, you know, working with kind of a hypothesized-based approach and a guide. Although many times conversations may go different directions, you do want to make sure you're at least covering what is within that discussion guide. But we'll catalog all the different answers and look at commonality differences across. If you're looking at, let's say, different archetypes, as we've talked about before, you can compare contrast answers from one stakeholder at one archetype versus similar stakeholder at another archetype to look at differences in attitude and opinion. And again, it depends on how large your sample is, but you'll look for both themes. You're looking for the rationales of, you know, why the behavior is as it is, and to be able to then synthesize all that information back, and it can be tied back into analytics, like we talked earlier. You can segment, use the analytics to segment the IDNs, and then you can do specific primary research within those different segments, and so you can compare and contrast against those segments. But synthesization process to be able to identify similarities, differences, and be able to call those out to be able to report back to our clients.
I believe you do primary market research on different entities, not just IDNs. Are there any unique challenges working with IDNs?
Well, I think you're quite aware of this as well. I mean, you know, the running joke is you've seen one IDN, you've seen one IDN. So one of the challenges is really being able to make sure that you are understanding what is that IDN. So if it's definitely, and I mean by that is, you know, if there are different segments, different behaviors, to be able to really understand those going in, so you can have a very good sense of where to focus that discussion and to be able to tease out for some of those differences. Like I mentioned in an earlier response, you know, I've interacted with some IDNs that have a very centralized process for their procurement for their products, the pharmaceutical products. Others take a very decentralized approach. Some are very interacting across the entity with protocols in place, all have integrated systems and actually ordering systems. So your PCP that's part of an IDN may be ordering through the same centralized computer in a protocol-based approach versus another one may not. So really being able to understand that IDN from its foundation at the beginning is very helpful in order to be able to extract the right information out based upon that business question. So fundamentally, the uniqueness of IDNs creates some unique challenges, but being able to understand the basis is a key component. And thus, I think that's why, you know, working with yourself and your center of excellence is actually a really great way to be able to bring in an element or a tool like primary market research, is because we can work together and get a very good understanding of that specific entity, even if it may be blinded back to our client, so that when we do go in and do any type of primary research, we have a much better foundation and understanding of that organization so that we can probe and steer the conversations correctly based upon the discussion guide, which is based upon the key business question.
Being a math guy, I think I know good math and bad math when I see it. I'm not so sure I could do that for primary market research. So how can we tell the difference between good and bad primary market research? What can go wrong?
Well, I think what can go wrong is, you know, fundamentally, is your primary research focusing on the right stakeholder? So that's one of the key fundamental questions, because you can have a wonderful hypothesis, you can have a wonderful discussion guide, but if you're actually not speaking to the right person, you're not necessarily going to get good data and good results back. So again, it's a data collection tool, so where you apply that tool needs to be spot on. So being able to target, being able to bring in the right stakeholder for your sample is a critical piece. I think also being able to make sure that the moderation, if it's a qualitative primary market research, or the questions that are being asked correctly. So you can always have someone ask what I'll call closed-ended questions or yes-no questions. The answers are yes-no answers. So if you're going in engaging, you know, some moderators just asking questions that can be answered yes-no, you're not going to get the depth that you're looking for behind to be able to support the behavioral aspects you're witnessing, whether it be through the analytics or maybe that future scenario. So I think it's a combination of targeting the right stakeholder, asking the right questions in the right way are critical to actually getting good out. If you are targeting the right stakeholder but asking the questions the wrong way, you're going to get bad out. So it's garbage in, garbage out. So I think the way to kind of identify this is really being able to vet the knowledge base of organization that's supporting that primary market research. So at IQVIA, we can bring in all of our past historical knowledge. We can work with your ID and Center of Excellence to be able to supplement something you've done. Or if you haven't done that, we can still actually supplement that from an education base, so we can actually be bringing in additional knowledge to the research we're doing on the primary side.
Thank you, Paul. That completes our episode on primary market research. In today's program, we learned what primary market research is and how it's complementary to analytics and can help us understand the why behind the what. We heard how we can use analytics like segmentations to help choose the right audience to interview. And then finally, Paul gave us an inside look at the good, the bad, and the ugly of primary market research. Paul Veer, thank you for being my guest today.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
That's all we have for the moment for our podcast series on IDNs. I'm your host, Rory Martin. Bye for now.